Sports Round is back. We talk Champions League, we talk rugby. We said we were going to talk about Naomi Osaka, but we didn't get there because load shedding happening in South Africa, so we had to make a stop, unfortunately. Lots to talk about NBA, NHL even. And we just kicked it and had a good time. I really hope you enjoy listening to us, and we'll be back soon. Thanks to Kebo Motoha. I always have fun recording with you. This is Sports Around. We haven't been around for a couple of weeks. Lots of things have happened. The NBA playoffs have gone crazy.
Yep.
Yesterday, Naomi Osaka decided that she's tired of the media and she wants to get the fuck out of the French Open.
I only caught that earlier today.
Get the ESPN updates. Came up yesterday, last night. And yeah, we'll probably talk about it.
Yeah, we'll touch on it.
I do get it. So, Champions League final, Europa League final.
Yeah.
Challenge Cups happened. Champions Cups happened. Mm-hmm. The Springboks had an off weekend, so they went to an alignment camp.
Yeah.
With some new faces. Roscoe Speckman is going to the Stormers for a loan deal. Damian Willemse is getting handsomely overpaid.
Get your money, black man.
Hey, bro, get your cash. Like, you know, one thing for me is get your money. Like, whether you're being overpaid or not, because there's a lot of players in the NBA who are being overpaid. Actually, talking about the NBA, Stephen A. Smith had time for Kwame Brown this week or last week. That video was funny, and it was only Stephen A. said that was just 2 or 3 minutes of like blooper highlights. He's got 15 minutes. And this dude was talking about triple doubles. I average a triple double. Dude, you average 6 points for your career. Like, and you made $69 million in 13 years. You know, good for you, bro. You know, you did your thing. So, Sports Around, where do you want to look? Let's start at the one place. You want to start at the one place that I know you don't want to start at. What's going on with the Orlando Pirates?
Sorry. Before, just so that how angry I am with the Orlando Pirates.
You're so upset with the
Orlando Pirates, man. I don't know. Where do we start, man? I thought Coach Zinbauer was going to save us. Everything looked good with the trophy, with the MTNA trophy at the beginning of the season. We went into December, 2 points off the lead. Log table lead with Sundowns, hot in pursuit. And then we just fell apart. We just fell apart from January onwards, man. It's just been inconsistent. I can't explain it. I can't. There's no explanation for it. Because I think we had a good enough squad to challenge Mamelodi Sundowns, even though Sundowns can buy anybody. Yeah. They literally buy anybody. They can buy anybody, but we were in a position to challenge them. Inconsistency, loss of form, injuries, tactical overthinking. I'm sure you as a rugby coach would know sometimes where coaches overthink a simple situation. That's all that happened. I can't explain it.
But, you know, it's funny because that's something actually we'll touch on when we get to the Champions League.
Yes.
But you're so right. Sometimes, especially at the lower level of the game, like where I am right now, it's like, the simplest thing. And then it becomes like a...
man.
You dissect the simple 3-on-2 to the point where, like, what are we doing here? And then, but you see with Pirates, and you're talking about money, and you're talking, you know, the fact that Sundowns can afford to have...
Anybody. They can field... Without any lies, to all those who might not know South African football culture and zeitgeist, Mamelodi Sundowns can field on any day three teams good enough to win the league on their own. That's how they've, and it's one of the, something I actually want to touch on, that it's actually killed our football.
And they could shock you.
It's killed our football. It has.
They could also shock you and get an international player. And yes. Like,
yes,
like a one, not a 1A, not a 1A, yes. But they could get a good 1B. Yes. They could get a really decent 1B and bring him into South Africa. And
exactly.
Which is probably.
No, what, the problem is, yeah.
Which is probably what the league needs, right? Don't you think they need a bit of.
Look, it's well documented that our football has fallen badly. But when one team gets all the good players, you will notice the standard drop elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Sundowns has won the league 4 times in a row. Mm-hmm. They won the league 10 times in the last 16 years. That's not good. There's no competition because competition, as the saying in the Bible goes, iron sharpens iron. So you need good players spread out so that, you know, competition increases, quality increases. Unfortunately, Sundowns, with this team that they've got, the most they can get, because South Africa, it's 16 teams, so you only play 30 games a season. Sundowns maxes at only 60 points a season. It takes 60 points to win the league in South Africa, which is pathetic. That's not good. So not only do you have all the talent, you still can't dominate to such an extent that you can finish a season unbeaten. You can score 90 goals in the season and get 90 points. Even your football as the elite team in the league is still dying. So that says a lot. It actually says a lot about where our football. And we are surprised why Bafana Bafana cannot qualify for any tournament. When in our league, the most a guy can score, I mean, in all competitions, imagine William playing 40 games in a season.
Mm.
And the highest for a team. Mm. And the most goals you score as a strike, as an elite strike, is 13 goals.
That's ridiculous.
13 goals. So,
right. And I mean, this is what these guys are scoring here.
It's horrible. It's the average.
You know what? That's like you basically have the correlation is the same here, though. It's like, so Bayern Munich is the richest team, is the best team, is the. You know, sure, okay, now this season they're going to make some changes.
Yeah.
Alaba is leaving. Boateng is leaving. Where's Boateng going, actually?
I don't know. You never know because at the moment, a lot of teams are broke because of COVID. So the transfer market is, you can't predict anything because it's all about affordability.
Because I didn't realize they were actually leaving until I don't know what I was doing.
I was
looking for something. Mm-hmm. And if I'm brutally honest with the people who are listening and so on, I don't watch any German football. I don't make no bones about it.
Try to watch it. It's on this ABC 3 in South Africa.
Of course
you do. Watch it. But the problem is, if it's difficult to lift yourself for a league in which the winner is predetermined.
Right.
It's like, so, Bayern
Munich. And also, it's funny because I was talking to my employment advisor, they call them here. Yeah. You know, she was just checking in. And I was saying to her, you know, what we're doing sports-wise. And she said, yeah, the only issue here is it's an overgrown market. You know, football is, you know, it's just lapped up everything and there's nothing else. Nothing else can thrive and grow. And so, you know, I was surprised to see that. Where is David Alaba going, actually?
Yeah.
Player, quality
That's player. That's a good – I'm sure he might be going to Spain.
He's going to Spain.
I think there's no way – when you leave Germany, you either go to England – that's an upgrade. You're not going to Italy or France unless you're going there to retire or something. And he's still got years ahead of him. So
right, he's young. He's like, what, 7, 8?
28, 30. Dude, if you're getting him at his prime, I'm trying to imagine, is Bayern Munich sure they want to release somebody at the...
I think what you're saying also makes complete sense. Yeah. The teams are broke, and we're seeing this in South Africa. We're seeing this here.
Yeah.
And with teams being broke, what tends to happen is you've got to offload some contracts, you know, and then you offload. Yes. You're not going to offload the Lewandowski type contract because you're getting him for nothing. Actually,
yes,
you know, you're getting him cheap.
Because remember, Lewandowski at least makes you money.
Right, he makes you money. He scores goals.
Yeah,
right,
you can't sell. Yeah,
you can't really sell him. Yes, you can't really sell him. Sorry, I keep.
So yeah, but I know we've digressed
my point at the end of the day is, you know, here, and of course it's such a big thing that they've won record meister, right? So they've won easily 10 of the last 10 11 of the, you know, it's getting boring for them. It's, but then look at their national team.
That's, you see, how come they can have one team dominate, but then German football be everlastingly healthy? Because it benefits them that Bayern is good. Because sure. I don't know if you noticed, they get German players into Bayern Munich.
No, no,
they
absolutely.
Get them and make them better, but, which then feeds
so the national team. So then I'll argue, and also the way the league works and the way the sport works and, you know, Champions League football. And this is the problem in South Africa. This is what I'm trying to get back there. It's
I'm
like,
interested by it. Oh, yes. Sorry to interrupt you, but it's probably going to segue you into what you're going to say, but continue.
So Sundowns goes to the CAF Championships, which is the African equivalent of the Champions League, and gets their ass beat.
Even though they did win it in 2016. Yes,
they
that
won
was
it in
great.
2016. Great.
Which was can I tell you, that was actually South Africa's most significant on-field achievement since the 1996 AFCON. We'd literally not won any significant tournament until Sundowns won it in 2016, which was great because they had the you know why? Because they had the resources to do it. But now we expected them to repeat, but they've fallen off and we are suffering as a result. So unfortunately, we are comparing Germany and South Africa, and we all know leadership, it all comes to leadership.
And
you can't expect that from South African sports, particularly football.
Right.
Willem, we can go on a tangent about...
No, we can. And look, right now with what's going on here with the sport that I'm, you know, involved.
Oh, man.
It's bad, you know, mismanagement and so on. I mean, if you don't know, there's been some allegations made against the CEO who was on our sister, who's on our brother podcast.
Yes.
He was the first guest, and you know, it's mismanagement and a circle of fear.
Yes.
State lawyer in one of the states has now gotten involved, or one of the towns. You know, their base is there, and it's bad.
Yep.
It's bad. Yep. You know, I'm not going to say what I truly actually think and believe. I want to actually see the court do its thing and see what they find. I think one thing that always happens in sport and is the rumor mill is bigger than anything else.
Yes.
The people in the inside know better, right?
Sure.
And we all know, and you know, if you've been in and around it for a few years, you kind of know kind of what's going on. But let's leave that. But let's.
It's hard. It's hard. Bafana sucks. Pirates sucks. That's all that matters.
You know what? My brother was reminding me of the Trevor Noah joke when they were trying to stone the Bafana team bus, but they kept missing with the stone. it's such a good point. Such a good point. Because we can't even hit an open target.
Exactly.
Exactly. But one thing, I watched all 90 minutes of it. First time in a long time that I've watched, gotten through 90 minutes of a football game.
Mm-hmm.
I like Pep Guardiola so much. I do. I really respect him. I like the way he coaches.
I would have him at United.
I would. Yeah, look, I mean, I don't even think Solskjaer would fight that. I mean, if he was available to coach at United, I think anybody would step away, and I think he would do wonders. But he got totally, tactically, manhandled the other day.
It was
crazy,
amazing. It was remarkable. One shot on target all game with the most expensive squad in sports history. Tuchel the Meister from Germany.
Are they that expensive? Are they that expensive?
Dude, Manchester City under Pep, or Manchester City in the last 10 years has put together the most expensive sports team in history.
Jesus.
And they still have no Champions League to show for it. That's all those Emirates
want. And that's all they want.
That's why they hired Pep. Pep is literally there to win them the Champions League. That's it. And Tuchel came in, found a team in turmoil. In the space of 180 days, turned them into FA Cup semifinalists and Champions League winners. through brilliant. Oh my goodness, it was Pep again overthinking. We talked about it earlier.
Right.
Why isn't Fernandinho starting? Why isn't Rodri starting?
Why didn't Aguero start?
Exactly. Chelsea has got an engine in Kante. Kante will run you off the pitch. You need somebody to counter him. Fernandinho and Rodri. No, those two don't start. You put in Ilkay Gundogan. Gundogan is a player who passes. He's not the guy who positions himself to neutralize Kante. Oh, Chelsea.
So I felt like... I felt like they went away from the way they normally play. You know, they passed the ball 480,000 times a game.
Why do you change it in the final?
They hardly passed the ball. They held on to the ball. Because I think part of it was, I went for City, as you remember.
You said they were going to whip their ass. Yeah.
I thought City was going to whip their ass. Because defensively, and if we're honest, at some points, if they don't have Rudiger...
They're screwed,
right? And if they don't have Kante, okay, look, Kante isn't okay. If Kante doesn't win the Ballon d'Or, then
that poor slave.
I'm not gonna do that thing. I'm not gonna do that thing where it's racist.
It's racist.
I'll do it.
It's racist.
There's issues here.
We are bending, Baba. We are bending. You know, South Africans love burning things.
So yeah. Will Nicholas?
No, man, no.
No, if he doesn't win the Ballon d'Or, then I don't know. He's a workhorse.
My goodness.
The thing that got me was just like, I was like, okay, well, you can come back from 1-0. Anybody can.
Yes, yes.
But they didn't come back.
They were shut out. Literally shut out.
The Chelsea midfield, I thought, had a storming game.
Yes.
A really great game. Yes. And it was weird that Pep went with three at the back, which, you know, with two really, really good German-born players.
Mm-hmm.
One being, they're touting this kid who scored the goal. Oh, what's his name?
I forgot. I was watching the game a bit.
Sorry, people. So but they're touting this kid as the next big thing.
Havertz. Yes.
That Kai in my life. So they're touting him as the next big thing, you know. Obviously, he's young, he's quick, powerful, he's tall. He's not Haaland, but to me, he slinks better. You know, he took his chance. I mean, okay. Also, the other thing that goalkeepers forget, the top of that little tiny little half circle thing. You are allowed to handle the ball there.
No, you're not.
So it would have been a red card.
I think they didn't see it because the goal was scored. But had they gone back and the ball, no ways. Mm-mm, you're not allowed to touch it. I don't know why it's there. It's amazing how a lot of us football fans don't know why that. But you're not allowed to handle
the ball.
No, you can't.
Okay. You can't. Well, sorry for my lack of football knowledge. But then he tries to save it. And he gets a hand on it. And I think because his hand dragged and he couldn't get him with his feet. And you know Pep likes a goalkeeper that can play with his feet.
Yes.
And can't defend for shit. Yeah. That pass, like I was actually saying, I was saying to another friend, because he was like, look how much space it is. It's like, yeah, he had the passer of the ball had enough time to put three houses in there and put up a border around those houses. And finish off his house basically, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
And then they were on the attack the whole second half. I just found it so. It was like watching a team that was overcome with I don't know what. I don't know what was said to them before the game started. I don't know if Guardiola just I don't know.
Oh man. I have
no idea.
Sometimes. It didn't look good. There are factoids in sports, there are myths, there are legends, and one of them is having the DNA to do something. And I do agree in certain things, these things are true. These myths are actually true in that City just does not have the DNA for the Champions League yet. Maybe the fact that they've been in the final, they now know what it's like. It's going to become institutional memory as to, okay, now we've been to a Champions League final. We know what is expected of us. We know that finals jitters are a thing. And we'll get to it later with regards to UCT and Marty's, Stux last night. We'll get to that. But finals jitters, I think, got to
I didn't watch because, that game yet.
Yeah, and Loach, we got Loach shed at halftime. But anyway, City had finals jitters. I could see, even in that Brennivane Coke haze that I was watching the game through, that they had the finals jitters. Chelsea had been there before. They've lost the Champions League final before. They've won it, and they knew what was expected. Tuchel was in the Champions League final last year with PSG, remember, and he lost. That memory now helped in righting the wrongs of last year losing to Bayern in beating City, which I find strange because I don't know if anybody has realized that Pep might be one of the greatest coaches of all time, but his Champions League record is terrible. Yes, he beat Man United in 2009 and 2011. But because of his stature, his dominance of world football in this past decade, to only have two Champions League titles to show for it, think about it. He has had limitless budgets at City.
Wait. Has he only got two?
He's only won two.
I thought he won three.
No. He's only made the final.
He left, and then they won the year he left.
Dude, Bayern fans are not happy with Pep. Pep was supposed to win them Champions League. He didn't win one at Bayern. With the best team in Europe, he couldn't win the Champions League. With the best team in Europe at City.
I'm not going to lie. I was here when they were killing it.
Yes.
They were boring as shit to watch, though.
But and because they would win. Dude, William, on average, Bayern would win the league by game 30.
If I remember, there was a game Lewandowski scored 5.
Yeah,
just was his day. Yeah, it was just his day, and he just. Yeah, look. So, I think you're right.
Pep will be crushed. Pep must be the most disappointed man in sports at the moment. Nobody will be as disappointed as him because everything at Man City was set up for Saturday. Emirati took over in 2008. That was their moment. They'd prepped for that moment for 13 years. And to see them get outfoxed the way they were by Tuchel, man, it's going to suck.
It's funny because
it's going to suck.
I was on TikTok farting around, and there was a video of Tuchel when he was still coaching here in Germany.
Yes.
And he literally, his thing is the team play. Team is everything.
Yes.
Don't dribble unless you absolutely have to.
Yes.
And he's cussing this guy out. And that's like, and watching his raw emotion yesterday, I just think that's something that the German coaches have. Yes. They get really into it. I mean, Klopp,
yep.
Jürgen Klopp gets really into the game. And you know, I wonder how long the Liverpool experience is going to last.
Yeah.
But you know, Tuchel just the way he was coaching, the way that he talks to his players, he gets involved. That he's definitely a player's coach.
Yes. You know?
So and in some ways, today you kind of need to be a bit more of a player's coach because
of player power.
Player power, player empowerment, you know, all of that. But also, you know, it's okay. It's okay that you have to also draw the line, which is good. And players respect that and players expect that. But you've come in for 180 days, you said? And he's turned the team around. They're obviously going to sign him long term. I mean, they kind of have to now. And you know, hats off to Chelsea. I just thought the way that they played, they were smart. I mean, I remember bemoaning to you guys on our little WhatsApp group with Miles about these little ticky-tack fouls. You know, that's another thing. You know, it's like, you still want to play that game plan, but you're not passing the ball like you used to. If they kept ticky-tacka thing, I think the game does go 1-1, 2-1, maybe they go extra time.
Yeah.
I mean, they nearly scored. I mean, if that ball was, if that shot was 3 centimeters lower, that's in a goal. It's in the goal.
And the entire balance of the game changes, right?
Oof. So, yeah, I think I'm done with the theme of football, and but I'm not even gonna go there.
I'm so happy that City lost, because if City won on Saturday, it would have made Manchester officially blue. Manchester's unofficially blue. Thank God it will remain unofficially blue.
So, let's just take a minute, because you know how much I miss home.
Yeah,
well. And you know, here it's the summertime, and the summertime is rolling around.
Yeah.
And if you live in the Heidelberg Pfalz area, maybe it's my old coach, Peter Jordan, is making some fantastic boerewors, meneer.
Hang on, did Peter Jordan Jordan coach in Germany?
He coached the HRK, okay. And he coached the national team as the background and assistant coach. Okay. And obviously Titans assistant coach as well, and my coach, my backline coach. And Pete is making boerewors, really great tasting boerewors. And if you want to get some boerewors from Pete, just go to Pete's Boerewors, Pete's.boerewors, P-I-E-T-S.boerewors, B-O-E-R-E-W-O-R-S, on Instagram. And you can, if you're listening to this in Germany, he hasn't figured out the shipping thing yet, but he's getting there. He's going to do it. But great tasting boerewors for your braai, especially now as it's getting hot in Germany, or warmer in Germany. We've had some. We've been there, bruh. That's why my ass been running. That's why my ass been running this week.
Hey,
my ass been out here.
You must export some to me once lockdown regulates.
Bring them from Germany
to South Africa.
You know, I make jokes, but you know, if you guys have another family meeting where you're told that that alcohol dolula, I can hook you up. Sit down.
Oh, by the way, can you please educate a brother? What's the difference between boerewors and bratwurst?
Right. So boerewors, as you know,
Is
what's made back home. It's tradition. It's made primarily of scarp or beef. You have pork, you have chicken as well. But mostly beef and sheep. And then you know the fat of casing the spices are different. Right? Mm-hmm. Bratwurst to me, well, in my 7 years, I tasted it, of course. It's made differently, and it's made primarily of pork mince.
Okay.
And it doesn't come like boerewors comes in a round, right?
Yes.
And bratwurst really comes in like links. That's what we would call.
Oh, all right.
All right. And so basically it's pork. Tastes good. It's nice with a little bit of sauerkraut and a little bit of mustard, and you know, I'm getting really German about it, but that's the majorly big difference. But you know, if you're involved in the rugby culture, hit up Pete. He's making the pots.
All right. I'd like to thank Germany for Eisbein, by the way. There's this local watering hole called Hogs Douglasdale.
Yeah.
I'm going to punt them for free. They taught me Eisbein. Oh, my goodness.
So if you ever come out this way to see your niece, we can get it up the road here. And we make it. We make it when it's colder. It's nice when it's colder.
Okay.
Yeah, look, there's not a food show.
Yeah.
That's why my ass has been running.
Okay.
That's dripping.
No. The reason why I'm raising all of this is because usually under normal times, at the end of May, the Deutsche Schule in Parktown has their Schule Bazaar. It's always the last week of May into June. So we would have had a bazaar this weekend where you have the best of Germany. Alcohol, food, beer.
Oh
my goodness, it's an amazing, amazing day.
Oh, that's cool.
The thing is, I don't know if I told you, but people don't know, that the soccer team that I play for, Fogmi Kontol.
It's not really a soccer team. He just moonlights there.
We just fight. All we do is fight.
He moonlights there and he hacks people. He's going to tell you a story that he stepped in a game of touch rugby And it's utter lies. Okay, no, it's not lies. Whatever. He got me once. So, yeah. He got me.
Yeah.
He got me.
I broke my toe in the process.
And then never got me again. And every time he tried me, we're not gonna end.
So that's the thing. That's why my interest in Germany is so high, because I've got a whole lot of German friends here in South Africa.
Sure.
Who indulge my black ass, because I know they love their Schwarzes. They love their Schwarzermeister.
Oh my God.
Okay, I went there. Sorry. Let's change subjects before we start saying things.
But you know, it's the food culture is very interesting, because it's something I've had to get used to, you know, obviously being here, living here. You know, it's a very pork heavy, if you're a meat eater, it's a pork heavy a diet if you're a meat eater. Obviously you get your steak and, you know, your chicken and
Of
course, duh. Sure. You don't want to hear, get like messages from German, no, we don't only eat pork. Well, I mean, that's why you're so farkerig, but but you do like, you get into it, because then you start realizing the culture of it. You know, food is so much culture, and something you'll understand, having the cultural heritage that you have. You know, samp and beans is major, pump and flace is major, and so here, you know, it's you know, sauerkraut is something we'd make a lot of jokes about, but you have a little wurst or have a little roll, and then there's all kinds of little, like, they have polony type stuff, they have it here as well, and so mm-hmm. there's lots of correlations between food culture of what we would say the Afrikaans community and the German community. So anyway, long moral of the story for that short little advert is Pete's Boudoirs, get it
goes down
right. The NBA
well, I'm seeing here there's a whole lot of series that are one game away from somebody going fishing.
Okay. So what do you want to dissect? What do you want to get into?
To our listeners, because I'm a big NHL fan, I was whining to William the other day. I was saying, it seems to me, and he corrected me, William corrected me, where I said, it seems to me that a lot of series in the NBA never seem to go to game six. There's a whole lot of 4-1s, 4-1s, 4-0s. And then you gave me
those do happen.
Yeah, you gave me context. You were like, yeah, but a lot of the games are competitive. It's not like somebody just walks over whoever. When you're in the top eight in each conference, you do deliver. So maybe you can contextualize it for me.
Look, I mean, I think what you were trying to say is that, like, obviously 1v8 normally, not, you know, what we've been used to seeing is any team that LeBron is in,
yes
he normally gives you the first game, they normally give you the first game to get hungry, and then it's 4-1. I get you, you know, in the, but then as the playoffs go on towards the finals, then you're seeing 4-2 games, 3-3 games that go to a game 7. I mean, that Toronto Raptors run a couple of years ago, you know, that game 7, and then they win their title. Look, context-wise, it does happen. You are right in some ways, but a lot of the games are super competitive. It's not like those guys are like wanting to lose 3-1, 4-1.
Yeah, true.
You know, they're playing, but it's been a hell of a week and a half.
Yes.
So the things to pick apart is, like, Dallas was 2-0 up.
Yes.
Now it's 2-2.
Hey, they got clapped here.
And they really... Bro, they got beaten in the last game. They got beaten. So whatever Rajon Rondo screaming to the players and the coach after the second game, it did its work.
Can I ask you something? How old is that man?
How old is Rondo?
Yeah.
You know, to me, Rondo will always be like 25, but he's not. Rage, I don't actually know. I'm going to look it up real quick.
I think he might be the most underrated player in the league, because wherever he goes, there seems to be a competitive edge that the team develops. I remember he was at the Bulls for a bit.
Oh, he's my age.
Was he at the
35?
Yeah. Wasn't he at the Lakers?
So he won a title with the Lakers last year.
Yeah.
He's bounced around. Boston, went to Boston. From Boston, he went to Chicago. There was a spell in Sacramento. There was a spell in New Orleans, I believe, for a little bit. There was a spell in... I'm leaving a team out. Dallas. That didn't go so well.
Yeah.
Because he's
the
a...
Bulls, he was the,
He's a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a point guard. He's God. Yeah. He's like, it runs through him. That's basically it. And so the Lakers took... Lakers, he went to the Lakers on... I think it was a two-year deal. In the second year of the deal, he wins the championship and then moved to Atlanta for a bit.
Yes, yes.
And now, you know, I think puts himself in a prime position to, if they carry on this momentum, to get to the Western Conference Finals. You know, Kawhi Leonard is going to have to score at a clip of 40 a game now. Paul George just has to do what he's been doing. But it's interesting how you know, everybody's, you know, so Luka dominant, but you can't carry a team. You know how hard it is to carry a team?
You can't. It's gonna take its toll.
You know, LeBron was saying, you know, if AD can't go, then you know, these shoulders have been through a lot. You know, he's carried teams. They're down. They're now at 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And AD's got a groin injury. You know, groin injuries are dangerous to me.
Because it's
especially in a sport like that, which you really have to do a lot of jumping. The pounding is different.
Mm-hmm.
You basically sprint. In short, you basically sprint 10, 15 meters and stop. And, you know, and the work that your groin muscle has to do to carry that out, that's, you know, that's some work. I personally, you know, I'd love to see that go down to a seventh game and just see
what. Yeah, just see. Because there was a stat because I don't know if you know, every morning I get up, I go on Twitter, I go on American Twitter because always trending is the NBA. And the NHL playoffs.
Sure.
And the NBA. And then I saw somebody pointing out that this series between Dallas and the Clippers, nobody's won at home.
Yes. So neither team has won at home. So you see, but that's the thing, right? So it takes, it's the team that actually, so if you know, I think the Clips play tonight or.
Yes.
If they.
Tonight, yeah.
So if they win it. For me, it's the team that wins at home first.
Yeah, I think so.
If you win at home first, you get that. In these kind of series, it's the team that's going to win at home first that is going to actually break the deadlock. I mean,
break the serve.
Look, the Celtics Nets thing. The Celtics Nets thing. Yeah, that's over. That's done, because them boys scored 140 the other night.
141, 120. Please tell me that was an overtime. Because if you're going
to concede... Nah, bro, that's regular. That's
Who concedes 141 points in regular time?
This is the thing with that monster team.
How do you stop them? True. That's
and
true.
And KD, to me, I have... Look, this is my opinion.
Yeah.
My honest opinion. I think KD is the second greatest pure scorer to ever play the game. Jordan. Come on.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think, you know, I think Kobe's up there as well. But I think, how do you stop all 7 feet of that? And then he jumps. You can't block his shot, first of all. He's quick as lightning. He can handle the ball like a guard. So, you know, to me, he's if he's putting up 35 clip a night and these other two are putting in 20, 25s or even higher, that's probably what's happening. You know, even higher. And then you have your bench chipping in with 10s and 3s.
Hurts, huh?
It hurts. You know, and if you're the Celtics, you're just like, oh, God.
And good on the Celtics for at least hitting 126. Any day, 126 wins you a game.
But also, you got to remember that they're injured as well. They are missing Jaylen Brown. They are. I think Marcus Smart is not. You know, he was back in the last game, but also great. The fans are in, and it's just been an interesting, you know, it's been interesting storylines. I mean, LeBron and Jay Crowder.
What happened there? Sorry, I've not been.
So LeBron, like, the game before this last one, the game that they won, the last game that the Lakers won. LeBron was like saying this dude stinks or something. Like he was doing this to, in front of his nose, like blowing, you know, and like gets in his head. And LeBron, you know, he likes to dish it, and he should. He's this player's, this generation's greatest player. I mean, there's no contest about that. You know, and you know, greatest of all time things are going to be theoretical anyway. You know, some will have Jordan, some will have Wilt, some will have Kareem, some will have Magic. Yeah. You know, that's fine. You know, but he's obviously in that conversation. And so then the other night, Jay Crowder's like, oh, okay. And hangs on him literally while the guy's going for a shot, like literally pulls him down. And LeBron's like, get off me, man. And it's like, gets chippy about it. And it's like, okay, well, you know what? I'm in your head now. So now it's interesting to see what's going to happen and if AD can go. I don't think he can. I think if their groin is as bad as they think it is, or you just don't know with his body as well. You know, he's always getting these little weird injuries, and I don't know if it's if it's lack of care or if it's lack of. I don't think it's a nutrition thing.
Yes.
You know, a lot of the time everybody's always saying, well, you know, you need to eat right. You need to, it's like, I don't think that's actually the bloody issue. I think the fucking issue is more like, how are you maintaining your stretch regime? Because these guys are really tall. And when you're really tall, you have really long limbs. And sometimes these guys don't know how to stretch properly. Even the trainers, the ones that are doing all the stretch, they don't actually know. They know the basics, but I bemoan this all the time. I just really wish they would get somebody who's like, you know, had some form of dance training, yoga, whatever, in there and showing these guys, look, this is what you need to do in order to maintain your body every day. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Can I confess something?
Sure.
I can't remember ever having the desire to see the Lakers win the championship this much. This time, I just want them because they're coming in from adversity. I just want to see them.
A lot of which they created themselves.
Yes. It'll be so great to see LeBron shut people up. Just shut them up. Whoever the doubters, just shut them up. Just in jail.
I don't think it's gonna be as easy as.
Yeah, no, I think somebody else is gonna win it. Yeah.
You know, as I look, that let's say it. You know, that Brooklyn team is good. The Bucks look good. Philadelphia looks a lot better now. Embiid, we'll see what comes of that. He limped off. They said it was sore, and he limped off. But you know, and then you know, it's not like Utah not playing well. It's not.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just watching the replay with them in Memphis.
Right, and it's not like Denver not playing well. So it's not gonna be a foregone conclusion for them. And to be honest, all the respect in the world to any, you know, to all LeBron Jameses and things like in the amount of finals he's been to. But the only time he's really carried a team to the finals was 2007. Other than that, he's had a lot of help. And people forget that. He's had a lot of help.
So 2016
help.
Oh,
2016 with the Cavs, he had a lot of help. Kevin Love was great. Kyrie was great. Kyrie hits the shot to win them the game, to win them the title. I'm not saying LeBron is not great, and people are always like, you're saying he's not great. No, he's great. He's a damn good player because he has a massive impact on the way his teams work on the guys that they bring in.
Ask Bulls fans. That man stood in our way. Five straight seasons.
Right.
It was
now, ask the Celtics. Him. Ask the Celtics. Yeah.
It was always, and you know, LeBron.
If you can probably ask this question over and over and over. If Derrick Rose doesn't get injured, do they overcome Miami?
I don't think so, because LeBron's there. I don't think so.
You never know.
Oh,
Maybe you play the series 10 times and the Bulls win 5, you know, or the Bulls win 4.
Yeah.
It could be the fourth one that they win that takes them over the hump. So, look,
sure.
LeBron is, I get what you're saying. Yes. I do understand what you're saying, where it's like, it'd be nice for them to come out and get a win because everybody's been talking shit about them. But, I mean, they've been injured. And also, you know, they've got to dig a bit deep now because they've really got to make sure that they come away with a win in Phoenix, you know,
yes.
In Arizona. I think it's tomorrow. Yeah. They've got to make sure that they come home with a win because sure. If they're down 3-2, to then go back to LA to win and then go back to Phoenix to play game 7, I'm... You know, I'd never bet against LeBron in a game.
LeBron, yeah.
But, you know, I'm saying but, ne? Yeah.
Yeah, but. So, okay, I guess I'll keep an eye on the Lakers, Suns, and we're also at 2-2. Trailblazers and Nuggets.
Okay, yeah, but you see, now that's also interesting. Because I really expected the Nuggets to blow their asses out. And the Trailblazers are like, hey. Yeah. The Trailblazers are playing well. I think they're moving the ball nicely, but I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to carry that momentum. I don't know. Again, it's Dame.
It's sports,
it comes
man.
Down to if it comes down to Dame in the last in the last 5 seconds to win you a game, well, I mean, I
So we don't know.
Tell us about, I think the NBA is done. I think.
Yeah, look, NBA, well, it only gets heated up. I guess I might as well import what I've gleaned from the NHL.
I was just about to say.
Yeah.
Let's hear about the NHL playoffs.
The one, hearing about the NHL from a black person is like hearing about... Let me not go there. Let me just not
have
go
you,
there.
Have you seen there's a video on Facebook. It's a bit old.
Yeah.
It's this guy from the South in the States.
Yes.
I think he's a comedian. And he talks about going to a cookout. What we would call a braai.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a barbecue from his schoolmates. You know, and his schoolmates always said to him, "Oh, you always put us into these uncompromising situations, like overtaking a police officer, you know, because, you know, it's him and then three black kids." That's the moral story. And they invited him to a cookout. And he said, at one point, he said, the only things that were white at this cookout was the potato salad, the napkins, and the knives and the forks. But it's so funny, the story, yeah. How he tells it and how...
Yes.
And how they invite him back, even though they're kicking his ass at spades. Because I mean, it's like having dominoes at like the, you know, at the braai.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, if you go to the braai in the location and somebody whips out dominoes, you're not gonna win. We know this.
That's true. That's
so
true.
It's funny you mentioned hearing ice hockey from
black person. From can black you imagine person. That shit?
You're so excited. I can see your black heritage is exciting you this month. What's going on? You're so drawn to it.
So the second round of playoffs kicked off on Sunday.
Right.
I, as you might know, I'm a Hurricanes fan. The Hurricanes are playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. We dropped the first game 2-1.
Okay.
Remember, we're playing the NHL champions here. So it's hard. It's as hard as it's going to get. If we surmount the Lightning... chances are we are going to play either the Bruins or the Islanders. The Islanders are 1-1 with the Bruins in their part of the bracket. Right now, the favorites for the whole shebang are the Colorado Avalanche. They are the team that finished with the best record in the entire NHL.
Listen, they beat the hell out of the Knights, bro. 7-1,
bro. 7-1, bro. That's a thump. Was there
a party? Was there a party at the goal line and the Knights weren't invited? Or?
Dude. So yeah, well, within the NHL, just know the team to watch: Lightning, Avalanche,
yeah,
and then Hurricane. Because the Hurricanes were the second best team in the league via the regular season. They're the teams that you need to take note of. But because ice hockey, I don't know if I made this point the last time you spoke, ice hockey has been proven scientifically to have the most unpredictable of all the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, you said, yeah, you, I yeah, it, you're
it's, it, the stats are there. It's, you can some never here. Call it an ice hockey. So,
isn't that how it be though? Isn't that how it should be? Because I think sometimes what happens, especially the sports that we follow, that we're very close to.
Yes.
Sorry to cut you off.
But yes, like,
we'll go back to it. But it's like, you watch rugby sometimes, you know.
Yes.
There's an ass whipping that's going to happen.
Yes.
You watch
yes.
football. Football can also be unpredictable, yeah, right? On any given day. Yeah. But most of the time, it's an ass whipping, yes. right? Same with the NHL. Okay, you can have your day. You know,
no, soccer, NHL, let's leave it to the side. I'll give you why.
NFL,
yeah,
you can have your day, but nine times out of ten,
you know,
you're gonna ask
the, hero, yeah.
the NBA, yeah, okay, it's a, you know, Brooklyn's in front of you, you can jazz with,
yes,
yes. But it's so
soccer too, cricket, yeah. rugby, use
right, cricket as well. Like for years, you knew if you played that Australian juggernaut.
Yep.
You know, in the early 2000s, late 2000s, you know, when they were winning World yep. Cups.
Yes.
You knew you were getting, right?
Yeah.
There was a time when you would play the Proteas and you'd be like, yeah, okay, sure. You get excited. And then,
you know, unless it was a tournament, then you'd like, no.
I mean, tournament, we... Oh,
why? Yeah, we know.
My brother was saying he doesn't think he'll ever see South African cricket win a cricket World Cup in his life.
We'll win it. I called it. I say we're going to win it with a bad team. It's ironic. We've had good teams, but we're going to win a tournament with a bad team. It's weird how these things work. Mm-hmm. We're going to win it with a bad team. Can I explain? Yeah.
Go back to what you wanted to say.
So, no. With that, it goes back to what I was saying about the impact of a LeBron, of a Kobe, of a Wilt, of Michael Jordan. What sets apart ice hockey from the rest of the other sports mm-hmm. is that talent is equally distributed within the NHL.
Okay.
So, going back to the point that I also made about soccer with Sundowns and all, mm-hmm. all the good players are equally distributed. You know why? Because a lot of teams in the NHL and MLB as well as NFL, MLB as well as the NBA exist right. to just make money. True. They're just there to make, so there are some teams, you know, are just there to make money for the owners. However, the Stanley Cup being the most prestigious in terms of age, the most prestigious trophy in American sports, the oldest one, is so highly competitive. It brings out the best in the player. So I know if I'm a footballer, I wouldn't want to be drafted to go and play in Minnesota. I'd rather go play in Los Angeles and New York right. and Florida and Texas.
Because you the big hockey. Market thing. It's the big yes, market yes. thing. Yes,
not in hockey. Dude, I will go and be drafted and play in Winnipeg, in Edmonton, in Carolina, in Nashville. I don't care. As long as I'm playing with the opportunity to win the Stanley Cup, I don't mm-hmm. care. So hence why NHL is so competitive. Hence why I fell in love with hockey. Yes, my number one team in America is the Bulls. It'll always remain the Chicago Bulls. The Ravens will come in second. But then when it comes to investment in a sports, it's the NHL because of its competitive nature. Hence why whenever I tell people I'm an NHL fan, they think this guy's just saying so to just be accepted. I'm like, bruh.
No, you watch it. It's not like you.
It's like, watchable.
I think like, and that's why I always say like, I got to know ice hockey more and more because of my wife being half Russian, and you know, yes. ice hockey is the thing. And I've been to watch the Adler Mannheim, you know, players here. I've watched yes. a few pro games, bro. It's yes. an awesome sport. Like. Yes.
It's just competitive, and then
you know. And when brothers figure that thing out with the skating yeah. and the hitting, and the
do you know where they're going to
run that shit.
The fact that they can let you fight, I'm surprised more black people are not playing it now. They let you fight. Latrell, knock knock. key, playing hockey. Like, oh, they just let a nigga fight. Let's do this.
Oh, my God. Excuse my friend today. He's I don't know what happened. I think he's upset because load shedding is coming.
Yeah, it's 6 p.m., bro.
It's, you know, and...
And we haven't even spoken rugby yet, huh?
I don't know. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
So anyway, leave us people trying to play hockey. But it's interesting because I you know, the thing is, I can't flip and follow the puck. And I think that's also a lot of the problem.
Yeah, right? The ball moves so...
The puck moves so fast that you don't know where it is. And the only way you know where it is how the player reacts, right?
Yes, yes.
Until, you know, and but it's so fast. And what makes it so awesome is how hard they hit each other, how hard they, you know... I mean, I think currently the European champs are going on, if I'm
mistaken. Yeah, they are.
No, Germany are playing quite well.
It's actually, I think there are teams from Denmark, from Canada and America. I think they sent their college kids there because the NHL season is currently underway. They would have sent...
You know America.
Exactly.
Yeah, Canada. Yeah, we'll send the trip.
Can I tell you something? I know.
Good for them.
These ice hockey players are big. They're not small boys. I've looked at their physical stats. They're the size of like rugby players-ish.
If you're a defenseman, yeah, sure.
Yes. But a center and a wing, 6'2".
The ones that I've hung around, the ones that I've seen, they're actually, I mean, I'm not tall. I'm about 6 foot at the most, 6 foot one, right?
Yeah.
Some of them are about my height and shorter, but they're slimmer. They're not actually as big as you think they are.
Oh.
The pads make them look huge. Yeah, the pads do make them look big, but they're fit. As
fuck.
They can run.
It's a tiring sport. I used to underestimate that sport.
So I did a youth. So I coached the youth. Youth. They wanted to do a rugby day with me. And dude, these kids, it was just like to do the basics. And then they were like, can we play? I was like, all right, you'll go ahead. You'll play. Figured out the rules, figured out how to play, and they played for 40 minutes straight. They didn't stop. I was just like, and these are kids just playing rugby, just trying to figure it out how to play, how to pass, and just being kids. And I was like, yo, now imagine.
Yeah, no.
The translation, you know. Yeah. So ice hockey champs, ice hockey Stanley Cup playoffs are going on.
Yeah, and I'll keep you updated because hey,
keep us updated,
man. I'm invested, man. I woke you guys up the other day to celebrate the fact that the Hurricanes had knocked out the Predators. Not that you gave a damn, but, you know.
I was asleep.
Yeah.
You know, I'm telling you, if my child had been born now, I'd be awake for all of it. So, but.
Kind of when is she coming?
July. So, might be NBA playoffs. There might be finals time, maybe. You know, we'll see.
We'll see.
So,
yeah.
This week there was a bye for the South African version of the Rainbow Cup.
Which is disappointing.
Well, was it because there was that invitational game?
Oh, yes.
Right. And okay, we didn't talk about Toulouse winning the Champions Cup. And, you know, they played well. La Rochelle, you know, watching some South African boys. Interesting that Graham and Rule played a lot of 13.
Yeah. Yes.
Nice for him. So, you know, I'm hoping he's on the fringe. I guess I don't know if he's being called or got a call. Be nice for him to find his way back, because I think he's played really well, and I think he's actually put in the effort to work on his body, work on himself. Put in the work defensively. Defense was the issue with him. We all know that.
Yes, he missed 9 tackles in that 57 loss to New Zealand. That ended his career.
I think a lot of people missed 9 tackles that day.
He was clearing. Good
on him. Dylan Leitch looking good. I mean, Chez and Colby is
the best. I saw an assessment on Rugby Pass. They reckon he's the best player in the world at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Can you argue against it? No,
I can't, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
But then, so there was no... There was no professional games as in.
Hang on. Before, can I interrupt you?
Mm.
The two European finals were actually forgettable games.
That's why we're not talking about them.
Sorry, guys. I don't even want to talk about them. Fuck, those games were boring. Yes, Seth. I'm sorry. I just have to vent.
That's why we're not talking about them.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
To lose, and so on. Yeah. Great. Well done.
Yeah, La Rochelle. But on the other hand, Super Rugby Tasman has been interesting.
So okay.
Yeah.
So there was this Toyota thing on mm-hmm. the weekend where some of the Cheetahs players got an opportunity to actually eight island vets. Can I be honest? I really feel really badly for the Cheetahs. I really felt like they deserved an opportunity in Super Rugby. I mean, in the Rainbow Cup, if they knew they weren't going to go to or have the opportunity to be able to go to England and so on, then what is wrong with them playing domestically? That to me was a bit, you know, South African rugby, wake up, you know, what the fuck? And then incorporate, and I kind of have to agree. I think I would want to incorporate maybe one or two other teams or franchises and just give them a go. Maybe Griquas could come in, maybe the Pumas could come in, you know, maybe the Elephants could come in.
Yeah,
you know, everybody needs a whooping boy team, so and I just felt like it was poor form, and it's great that, you know, and I thought, okay, this is a great opportunity for some of these young players to get out there and the invitational side whoops their ass.
Yeah. and I think that invitational team, the concept was an outstanding success. Wherever Rusty and Jock Nineveh and whoever must be smiling, because I think I read about the game, what the point of the game was before it had started. The game was to give the players in the Toyota team. It turns out it was players who were fringe players at their unions.
Right.
Bulls, Lions, Storm. Give them an opportunity to have a hit out because of the reduction of games because of Mukovivi, right? COVID.
Right.
And it turns out these boys are actually good. And you saw how much I was singing Innocent Hadebe's praises.
I mean,
on set.
Yeah, look.
It's.
Shem, poor guy's been.
Yeah,
male.
He's been through a lot.
He's been through the most. And I agree with you. And I think it's only right for them to get an opportunity, reduction of games. You always say, maybe the Springbok women should play against New Zealand and have a Tri Nations and get beaten and learn. And maybe that's what needs to happen with the EP Kings. Maybe this is what needs to happen so that people go, you know, yeah, probably not the best example, but it's good, and I'm happy that you know got a chance, and mm-hmm. Tristan Lates, I thought he was injured, so it was good to see him out there.
All 71 kilograms of him or whatever he is. That boy's too thin to play rugby. I'm sorry, Tristan. It's nothing personal.
Yeah, but then we could argue that Joe Aplon was too small and too thin.
Yeah, that's true. No, but keep it up, Tristan. Keep the dream alive, man.
You know, and ride it out. I mean, we could also argue that his brother is too thin.
Your brother is now losing finalist in Europe. I mean, yeah. Watching Dylan Lades reach, if he's not a bolter, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a bolter. But I'm just saying.
He is, though, because he must have been involved in their system because he played a game for Rassie and them. So he...
No, he actually was part of the wider squad for the World Cup in 2019. But then, you know, they had to cut. Somebody had to eat change. Somebody had to go home.
Right. These things happen. That's the nature of the game.
Yeah, it's happened. So rugby's for everybody, man. As long as you're delivering, hey.
So I didn't watch the game yesterday. You did.
Which game was that?
Did you watch the Varsity Cup final?
Yeah, well, obviously we got load shed at halftime, and
what?
UCT. This is the most dominant UCT team. Anybody who was part of the UCT team from 2008 to 2014, yes, your team was special. Your generation was special, but I can't remember seeing a more dominant UCT team before. They were primed to win this final. They were There was no reason for them to lose. But then Tux, great ambushery, great ambushing, excellent kicking game, which rattled the Aikis. And unfortunately, the Aikis made a selection error. Their fly-off, Sneda, got injured before the semi-final, and somebody else came. There's a short lighty, I keep forgetting his name, left-footed. Had an outstanding game against Booker on Thursday. He should have started yesterday. Momentum is everything. Do not, if somebody's got momentum, do not bench him. And I think Tom Dawson Squibb made a mistake with that selection. They should have not started the guy who came back from injury, because original number 10 was off the pace. You could tell that he was off the pace. Yes, he was one of the leading point scorers in the competition, but he had a poor game. Tux took advantage of the kicking game. They kicked very well. The ball either found grass, or if the balls were contestable, or the balls went out, which is what you want from modern rugby, right? And on top of that, they contested heavily against the Aikis' lineout, and as well as flooding the breakdown. So at halftime, Tux was leading 31-10. But then the Aikis, being a second half team, came back, right? They came back with fire, because Sneda, number 10, got injured, and then the replacement came on. Suddenly they found their rhythm, and they were like a minute away from actually stealing the game. But then Tux got a last minute penalty, made the score 34-27. So these are the highlights. I only got to see the highlights of the second half, because
we because Eskom was like,
Eskom was like, "Futsak, we'll show you." So
it's funny. It's funny how. Sorry. Finish your thought.
So once again, like as I keep pointing out in the group, the Varsity Cup is not necessarily the finishing school for South African rugby. It's where we get to see the players who are overlooked at, you know, junior level.
I mean, because, you know, I get what you're saying. I think one thing that it does do, if you think about it, that's why maybe someday they'll introduce a draft. Because I think a lot of those players, they get snapped up by unions, and then they go off and they die somewhere, for lack of a better term. I think they just get swallowed up, and then some of them just, you know, fall through the cracks, and next thing you see, this guy's in France, or this guy's in Japan, or, you know, like things like that. And it's like, what happened in South Africa? Like, why, you know what happened? I think what Varsity Cup does do is it shows what there is. I mean, CUT this season did things.
Wow.
They punched above their weight. UWC played quite well. You know, the normal powerhouses, Booker, Stellenbosch. Stellenbosch were a bit off this year. It's just a year.
They've won it 2 years in a row, man. Come on.
You know, and these things happen. I mean, you know, it's like college football. Alabama cannot win every year. You know, it happens. You know, it's, you know, I think like what we get out of Varsity Cup is more that we see the guys coming through, and what then happens to them, because they get an opportunity to show themselves in front of the world. Because the world is now taking more interest in it. I think, you know, because now kids are being snapped up at that age, 19, 20, 21. And they're in England. It's their hunting ground. And then they're in England or Ireland or even France or whatever. They're like, we could, you know, if you stay 3 years, 36 months or whatever, you can represent this country, you know, and then wait another 2 years and you can get a passport and, you know, things like that. So good for them. But I think that's what we're getting out of Varsity Cup. I don't think it's like guys who slip through the cracks. There are some players maybe
that
are still university age, that maybe were at an academy, you know, for under 19, under 20, whatever. And they don't, you know, they decide, look, I'm going to go back and study. They get a scholarship to whatever university. Yeah, I see that. I'm more at the point where I'm like, when is the Varsity, you know, because I think it was very competitive this year. I think the fact that they managed to get through a Varsity Cup, you know, is majorly important. But when are we going to actually start making the lower level, you know, what we would call the second rate universities, a bit more competitive so that those players shine? Because it's always the same universities. Yeah. And, you know, even though some people were very upset that one university happened to do a haka, and nobody gets upset when all those people go out and get their Maori tattoos and their Maori signage and their Buddhist tattoos. No, I'm kidding. You know, but this is the thing for me. I think Varsity Cup is a great springboard. And I also think, you know, when you look back and you go, I think UCT did a 10-year reunion of when they won their won the Varsity Cup. And you look and you go through those guys and you go, my gosh, I forgot you played there, which is also great because not everybody's going to be a professional sportsman. That's also great. That's also fine. And I think that's what we need to also be teaching these kids is like, you know, education is just as important. You know, not everybody that goes to a Division I school in America is going to go to the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, whatever. They need to get a degree and they need to go and work. Or it, maybe that's the choice they make in life. So that's where it is for me. I mean, I do hear you. I do hear you. I do see where it's like, you know, there are some cracks here. And, you know, and they've tried to spice the game up. I think it's just been the most competitive season version of the Varsity Cup this year. And I mean, it is a national championship. And well done to Tux for coming out and for winning. You know, I want to see how many of those guys end up in the pool system. So
that's one of them has been signed to play for Griquas next season. So
great. Great. Yeah. And they're, you know, I have a friend who's in the coaching staff there, and they're doing some great work with their academy and, you know, what they're preaching and what they're living and doing for the players there. Greg was, it's really great to see how they're going to flourish. I mean, you know, the Sharks Academy has been going
times. The problem is, Kimberley being Kimberley, if only Griquas was somewhere near an economic sentiment, because I know it's not appealing going out to
but you know what, sometimes that's a good thing. In fact, you know, if I quote my friend Guthro Steenkamp, who said when he went to play in his first professional contract was to go play for the Cheetahs. He went to Bloemfontein, and I mean, like, let's be real, Bloemfontein, really.
At least Bloemfontein, not.
If you're coming from the Cape, if you come from the Cape, from Turbo,
it's just up the N1 at least.
I mean, and if you think about it, it's like he was told by his coach, "You're either gonna cry that you're coming here, or you're gonna cry when you're leaving."
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and Griquas is that kind of place. I mean, Kimberley has its places. You know, you make we always say. I think people who live in big cities, who've never done the simple quiet life, you know, inverted commas, never get to see like those little towns. And then when they go there, they go, actually, this is hype. I can deal with it.
Maybe we need the slower pace, huh?
Yeah.
The slower pace ain't that bad, especially the older you get. But anyway,
something I've been saying about COVID, one thing that it does do is it's unplugged you, you know, it's unplugged you to slow down, to holistically better yourself or whatever, you know. And maybe sometimes people, like, you know, if you go and visit your mom in Zirest, it's the same thing, right? So big up to Tux. And I've got to let him go before it's load shedding time.
And I have to cook something quickly, otherwise,
Just make pasta. Too many noodles.
Yeah, no, but it's...
What's your week looking like? What's coming up? What do you...
Well, of course, now because there's no football until the European Championships, that starts next week.
Right. So excited by that. Apparently.
Yeah. Rugby, of course, the Rainbow Cup returns. Mm-hmm. Super Rugby Tasman, where I think...
We need Australian... to deep dive. Need to deep dive into that next week.
We can do that because out of 15 games, Australian team has only won one, and that is because of a red card. a deserved red card for Damon McKenzie, but it had to take the weakening of the opposition for the Reds to beat the Chiefs.
And don't forget the Hurricanes came back. They were getting their ass beat. They came back.
Yes, the Chiefs came back.
The Chiefs came back.
Were 1 minute away from winning the game. Right. So I'm actually looking forward because I'm in a group on Super Brew with a 20,000 Rand pool. And I'm leading. So it's like three more weekends or two more weekends and our brother's rich. So, yeah.
That's sponsorship. Sponsorship.
Sponsorship, Baba.
Sponsorship.
Of course, so it's a Rainbow Cup, Super Rugby, Tasman, Stanley Cups. I'm going to put my soul into the NBA playoffs. Meanwhile, the food business, the food truck business still struggles. But I'll have good news not before long because of things that are happening on the side. Because that's right. The big stress at the moment. That's what I can look forward to.
So, I mean, once they allow fans back into the stadiums.
Before
you guys are apparently South Africa is going to go through a third wave. What has actually been said with regards to that? I mean, is it climbing? Are the infection rates going up?
The infection rates are going up in certain provinces.
Okay.
Not every one of them. Unfortunately, the ones where people don't want to listen, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, your Free State. But because of what the government was able to implement just last year, the first time the breakout happened, that flattening the curve is probably one of the best policies worldwide. It's been praised
It's been incredible.
Yeah. So we understand there will be a third wave, but it will normalize. As to how that affects, naturally we had our family meeting on Sunday and we're back to level two. What I still gather is that while the Lions tour is definitely taking place, it's up to the South African government to decide, do we allow fans in and what's the capacity? Because right. I still know until further notice, nobody in the stadiums. Hey, a Lions test match against the Springboks without fans would suck. I know that British fans are not going to be allowed.
That's not happening.
But when it comes to home fans, they're trying to weigh the options. Just have some kind of atmosphere. Maybe with a stadium like... I'm sure you've seen with the games in which fans are allowed in. You've got a 90,000-seater with FNB Stadium. Get 15,000 people in there. Imagine the kind of
much space. Yeah, it's still going to be like Cape Town Stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
Because fans are there. So I'm thinking they're looking to play with that idea of maybe letting 15,000-20,000 people a stadium, just to have an atmosphere.
Let's hope vaccines catch up. Let's hope for a lot of things.
But then that's all I'm looking forward to this weekend. Nothing much.
All right, brother. Well, look, I'm gonna let you go. Yeah. I'm going to let you go and you go and
Thank you very much. Bloody Eskom, yellow moor. Sorry.
that's sports around. I'll catch you soon, bro.
Cheers, man.
Cheers.
Oh.
Wait. Go eat. Thank you for listening to that episode of Sports Around. I hope you enjoyed it. It's always fun having Kev around and just chatting. Coming up on this next podcast, I'll be chatting to Miss Celise Hicks, Lion King dance supervisor for World Musical, and it's gonna be great catching up with her. And then following that, I'll have one of my former colleagues, Simon Gwala. Yeah, he's doing the show in Hamburg, so that's going to be fun to catch up with him and just have some theater talk and get away from the sports a little bit. But Sports Around, we will always try and do a weekly show, lockdown, more like load shedding, depending. And just look after yourselves and take care.